Thank you, Mickey. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the letter of James? James in your New Testament. We're in the first chapter, and we'll begin in the 26th verse. Letter of James, chapter 1, verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would guide us, Father, that you would make this a time of change, Father. Penetrate everything that's going on in our world and let Jesus be lifted up in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you remember a special time in church, a time that was just absolutely wonderful for you, where God spoke to you, where you just had just a great time of worship? We want every Sunday to be that way, but there are some that just stand out. I had one like that. I had the opportunity to be at First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, Florida, and it was a special conference, and I got to hear one of my heroes. It was a great night. Dr. W.A. Criswell, pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas for over 50 years, was coming to preach what would be his last message. Now, Dr. Criswell, of course, he had pastored for 50 years. He had pastored before he had pastored in Dallas for 50 years. So you kind of get the idea. He was a little older in his life. Age has attacked him. He was very frail. In fact, he had to be helped onto the platform. He had to be almost lifted into the pulpit. And it wasn't until he got both of his hands fixed on the pulpit that his attendants let him go. And when they let him go, God let him go. It was just a great opportunity. He began to speak. Though thin and frail, it was as if when he began to preach, the years just melted away. And I was listening to not old, frail, used-up preacher, Criswell, but W.A. Criswell in his prime, proclaiming the Word of God with strength and power. That night, as he began to preach, the years just melted away. He preached one of his famous messages, "Give me that old-time religion." And he started off very weak and he started off very frail, but soon he had released the pulpit and he had a bounce in his step and he was shouting and preaching and enjoying the Word of God and proclaiming the truth of God with all of his might. And by the time he got to the end, he had his hands up in the air. The guys around him were waiting to catch him, but he was as strong as he could be in that moment. And he was singing, "Give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, it's good enough for me." And then, to the astonishment of everyone, he shooed away his attendants, and he sang that song going down the platform and walked all the way through the congregation of 10,000, singing that old-time religion is good enough for me. What a great night that was. He spoke of a religion that made a difference in a person's life. Now, I understood exactly what he was talking about and from the time period that he was talking, but I got to tell you, I don't consider myself religious. Religion is basically man's attempt to get good enough for God to take him in. Religion is really about what man can do. But the Bible reveals that that's impossible for man to do anything. Man can't do anything to please God and put himself in such a standing that God's going to say, okay, come on into heaven by what you did. No one can do anything to earn salvation. You're never going to be that good. I'm never going to be that good. Even W.A. Criswell was not that good. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Now, since I know I can't work my way into heaven, I can't do enough to hold to a religion that's going to get me closer to God and get God to say, come on in, boy. I have found that instead of religion, I have a relationship. I have found a personal bond. And that personal bond came not through what I have done, but through receiving what God has done for me. And you get close to God by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's only through receiving Jesus that one can know God and that one can come close to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You can't do it on your own. You can't work your way there. The word used in these two verses for religion actually means to bind together. It means by a group of special activities or religious ceremonies, what a man does to try to bind himself together with God. Now, there are a lot of religions in the world. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there seems to be new religions popping up almost every week. There's a religion there, a religion there, and a religion almost everywhere. Religions are coming because I believe man in his heart knows that he is empty. He knows that there's something missing in him, and he keeps reaching for something to find it. It has been said that in the heart of all men, there is a God-shaped vacuum. Well, let me tell you, if there is a God-shaped hole in your life, that hole will only be filled by Jesus Christ. In today's world, many people have their own belief structures, and we call those religions. In people's thoughts, Christianity is just one of the religions, just like all the rest, just one of those religions that people have. You know, in America, we have the belief that people have the right to a belief system, to their own belief system. This is referred to as freedom of religion. In our Constitution, it says, Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, our nation has gotten confused. Our nation has thought that in our Constitution there is a freedom from religion. That's not true. Our forefathers, in establishing our nation, established a nation on God, and they wanted God to be a part of it. In fact, they felt like the nation could not stand without God's leadership. And so they founded a nation where people could have a faith, and that faith would draw their lives closer to God and draw the nation closer to God as a result. And so they gave that freedom. Praise God for that freedom. By the way, don't let anybody take it away. Stand for those who will stand for our freedom to stand for Jesus. And that's, we're in a political year. It seems like we're always in a political year. But in this political setting, make sure that when you choose people that will stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Stand for people that will lift up the Bible, not take away from the Bible. One of the reasons people have problems with Christianity is that many people, especially Americans, claim to be Christians when in fact our lives don't have any resemblance to what God calls a Christian. This is what James is dealing with in this passage. He's sharing what is real and what is false, what is true and what is a lie, what is right and what is wrong. Whenever I think of these kinds of things, I'm reminded of Coca-Cola. Now, you being in Columbus, Georgia, know that Coca-Cola really came from Columbus, no matter what the people in Atlanta say. And so we're kind of tied to Coke in some ways. Coke had a slogan for years, is Coca-Cola, the real thing. And perhaps you heard that and remember it. They were very successful. But for some reason, someone in the high offices decided there came a time when Coke was getting old, we need to change it. And so they took that formula that had been so treasured for so long, and they tampered with it. And they took Coca-Cola, and they pushed it off the shelf so that they could reveal New Coke. Well, New Coke hit with a thud. There was a public uproar. People were irate. They protested. And pretty soon you found that the old Coke came back. And so we had New Coke, which nobody liked. We had old Coke, which became Coke Classic. So the new Coke is not the new old Coke, but the new Coke is Coke Classic. And the new Coke, they just made Coke. So we had the new Coke, which is Coke Classic, and we had the new old Coke, which is now Coke, and there became a confusion. If you got a new Coke and a new old Coke and Coke Classic and Coke, and Coke became Coke, but new Coke is Coke Classic, we became puzzled in what's the real thing. And so what happened was, remember New Coke? It is no more. You can't buy it in anybody's store. Coke Classic is now Coke. But what's the real thing? I started drinking Pepsi. Listen, you may not be able to tell the real thing in a soft drink, but God can certainly tell the real thing in your faith. James breaks down into two categories, a wrong religion and a right religion, an awful faith and an awesome faith. So let's look at this awful faith in verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives himself, this man's religion is in vain. James says an awful faith is a counterfeit faith. It's not real at all. Is your faith real? Is your faith real to you? Is it alive? Is it victorious? Does it make a difference in how you live? Does it make a difference in how you talk? Does it make a difference in how you communicate to others? Many people have a religion, but their faith is questionable. They have a Bible or a Bible app, but the Word of God is not really a part of their lives. They may have a cross hanging in their house. They may have a cross hanging from their neck. They may have a cross sticking in their ears. They may have a cross tattooed on their body, but their life does not reveal any relationship to the one that hung on that cross. They have an awful faith. Oh, they may sing the songs of the church, but they do not serve the Lord of the church. The awful faith is based more on an individual's whims than on God's desires. This is why they think it's okay to sleep in on Sunday mornings. It doesn't matter whether you're in church to worship God. It doesn't matter whether you come to Sunday school to study His Word. It's why many people live their lives away from God and all of their decisions, and God is only an afterthought. The only time God comes up is when there's a disaster. And whenever there's a disaster, oh, let's pray now. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is always death. You talk to people about their faith, they'll tell you what they used to do for God. When somebody always starts their conversation about God and what they used to do, oh, I used to be there every time the doors were open. Oh, I used to be involved with the children, or I used to be involved with the youth. Oh, I used to be in Sunday school every Sunday. Oh, I used to sing in the choir. Used to's. Used to's will often tell you about how great believers their mamas or daddies were and what they did at the church. And then sooner or later, they're going to bring up the fact that they had some long-lost uncle that was a preacher, as if that gives them extra points. Well, if it gives you points, it's the points against you, not points for you. Many people tell you, trying to stack up all the things they used to do as if that makes them okay with God. There really is no burning passion for Jesus. No burning passion for the one that went to Calvary's cross for you, that loves you so much, that gave his all for you. And because there is no passion for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's evidence that their faith is fake. True faith is a faith of calm assurance and faithful service. Can you say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I believe it and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day? The real thing is not a hope so, maybe so, I don't know, faith. It's not, well, I'm going to go to heaven, but I just really hope it's so because I really don't know. John 5:13 says, these things I have written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. A true faith holds to a true Lord who provides a true path to heaven and glory. If you have Jesus, you have the life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the life. So as we hold to him, we should have an assurance in our hearts that we're going to be with him, whether we are here with him or whether we are there with him. And we're going to have a calm assurance that when I breathe my last here, it's not maybe I'll go to heaven, I'm going where Jesus is. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and I trust what God has said in his word, and because of that, my faith is not shallow or empty. It is real, and it has an end that is glorious. Some of you will remember the name Will Rogers. Will Rogers was a comedian a long time ago. He was a cowboy comedian, a commentator. Will Rogers was asked one time, he was applying for a passport. And that was before the days of computers. There really were days before computers. And before the days of computers, they asked Will Rogers, did you bring your birth certificate? And Will Rogers said, well, what do you need that thing for? And they said to him, we need an affidavit testifying that you were born. Will Rogers said, I'm here, ain't I? You see, he was sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that he had been born, and he thought that that would be apparent to everybody else. He had an assurance. He knew it was so. I bet you know that so. You know that you were born. Well, you know what? You should have the same confident assurance if you have been born again. You should have that same confident assurance that Jesus is in your life and that you are his and he is yours. But an awful faith is a counterfeit. It will not hold you up when the going gets tough. An awful faith is careless. James is a very practical person. And so he makes it a simple down-to-earth test to show whether or not your faith is an awful faith or not. Religion is right or wrong. The person with the real thing knows how to bridle their tongue. The person with the wrong religion is careless in the use of his speech. Now, James has a lot to say about this. In chapter 1, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." He talks about this issue in the third chapter as well. The reason this is important is this truth. What comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. It's connected to what's in here. And that's why it comes out here. And so what you hear a person talking about a lot is what they're treasuring the most. And so if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if He has control of your life, if He is in your heart, then sooner or later He's going to come out of your mouth. And you're going to be talking about Him, and you're going to be talking of Him, and you're going to be talking more like Him. Matthew 12:34 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." If what you have in your heart is not enough to cause you to be careful in your words and in how you address others, then your religion isn't doing you a whole lot of good. If you are a purveyor of profanity, a lover of lies, a hurler of hurts, a trader of trash, a grower of gossip, then that brings your faith into question. This is not the only place we need to be careful. But James uses this as an illustration, and basically what he's saying is you should believe in God enough that it makes a difference in how you live. If you are truly saved, it's going to change you. The scripture says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He continually becomes new and newer and newer and newer. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new," according to the scripture. If your faith does not have the power to change you, then it does not have the power to save you. That's an awful faith. A counterfeit belief system. A careless faith. An awful faith is clueless. In verse 1, it says, "The awful faith bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is in vain. It is empty. It does not matter at all." An awful faith is a failure forever. And while you hold to what is false, instead of surrendering your heart to the one true God, you're deceiving yourself. And you're deceiving others that are around you. This type of faith, this type of religion, God says it is empty, it is useless. It's not going to get you to heaven. In fact, it probably won't get you out the door. I've had people tell me they've tried religion and it didn't work. Well, they're right. Religion, that simply trying to do good deeds, is not going to get you anywhere. You see, that's what goes on the outside. You need a change on the inside. If you truly have a change on the inside, you'll be able to live the life on the outside. God can make a difference in you that will make a difference from you. The devil wants you to just settle in to an awful faith. He wants you to settle down thinking it's all okay. You don't live like you love Jesus. You don't talk like you love Jesus. You don't carry an example that you love Jesus. And the devil is just happy with that, because you're going to pull people away from Jesus. You know what you need more than anything? You need Jesus. You need to mean business with Him. You need to accept Him fully. You need to be willing to trust Him with all of yourself and allow Him to be the Lord of all of your life. Instead of an awful faith, we need an awesome faith. In verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father. That's what we need. James turns his attention to the real thing, an awesome faith. An awesome faith is controlled. It's controlled by the Father God. A real religion must focus on God and His desires. It's not about you getting what you want. It's about God getting what God wants. Listen, if all the world has to revolve around you, you are not trying to serve God, you are trying to be God. We need to allow God to be God, and we need to circle our life around Him. We need to allow Him to fill our hearts and lives, to draw us in our lives to where we should go, to fill our words with what we should say. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe in His name." If you will receive Jesus into your heart, if you'll believe in Him as your Lord and Savior, He will give you the power to become God's child. Not everybody's God's child. Now, everybody is born by the power of God, but not everybody is God's child. It is only those that come to Him through Jesus Christ that are His children. And once you've received Jesus, your desire must be to serve Jesus, to be more like Jesus. Hey, are you more like Jesus today than you were last week? It's a hard measurement to take, isn't it? But if we are loving Him, shouldn't we love Him more and more? Shouldn't we want to follow Him more and more? And shouldn't we want to be more and more like Him? One who knows God will desire to follow God, and one who follows God is going to be a blessing to other people. That's an awesome faith. You're going to make a difference in others. An awesome faith, you see, is caring. James speaks of visiting orphans and widows. A person with an awesome faith is a person that is caring toward other people. Listen. You know one of the problems with America? We've become greedy, selfish people. People that want it all for ourselves and we want somebody else to pay for it. If we believe in our Lord God, if we believe that He died for us on Calvary's cross, then we are to live to make a difference in the lives of others. We are here to make life better for others by drawing them to the same Lord that we have. Ephesians 2 says, we are created by Jesus unto good works. Now, you won't get to heaven by doing good works, but if you're going to heaven, you should be doing good works. You know, it's kind of a funny thing. You hear somebody do a good thing, and it astonishes us. It's become a news item. If someone finds lost money and returns it to the owner, it's become a news item. Why is that news? Why isn't that normal? We should be looking for ways to take care of one another, take actions to take care of one another. It shouldn't be out of the ordinary. It should become our ordinary. If we're living for Jesus, we should want people to have better things, better life, better care. And we should be willing to reach out to help pick people up that fall down. And when people mess up, we should get them back on their feet. We should be by people's side, not throwing people away. We should be caring. If we believe in Jesus, we will care about others. And an awesome faith will be clean. It's going to be controlled by the Father. It is going to care for others. And it's going to be clean. Well, what do I mean? It means you need to clean up. We need to clean the inside up. We need to clean our lives up. We need to clean our heart up. We need to get our lives more like God wants them to be. We need to keep ourselves, the Bible says, unspotted from the world. Hey, if you start trying to do things like everybody else is doing stuff, you're going to get the same filth on you that's in the world. We need to do it God's way, not the world's way. We need to give of ourselves to others, but we need to make sure that that sin doesn't come into our own lives. Will there be temptations? Absolutely. They're everywhere. And you may fall. But if you fall, you know what? God is willing to pick you up and you ask Him. Listen, if you have an awesome faith, the moment you fall, you're going to be so aware that you are out of God's will, you're going to want to rush back to get in God's will. And so you're going to get on your knees and you're going to ask Him to forgive you and to cleanse you again. Because listen, sometimes I pray. Sometimes I know exactly the thing I've done wrong, and I can go to God and say, God, forgive me for this. But, you know, sometimes I pray, and I just want to make sure I'm clean. And there's nothing burning in my mind. And so, God, I just say, God, you know me. And I just want to be clean before you. Oh, God, just forgive me of any and all sin that I might be able to walk with you. I want to be able to walk with Him. I want to be able to experience His fullness. I want to be able to know that He is directing me and that I am His and my time is His and my words are His. I want to live a life that makes a difference. And that's the kind of life that makes a difference. And so, if you got an awesome faith, you're going to seek to clean up your life. If that starts with your language, clean up your language. If it starts with your deeds, clean up your deeds. If it's an attitude, clean up that. You know, I guarantee you, if we straighten out our attitudes, we'll straighten out a whole lot of our lives. Stop going around like you're going to bite somebody's head off and start realizing, you know, we're to show God's love to other people. We're to brighten other people's days. Try this. Try smiling at somebody when you see them. They'll either smile back or spend the rest of the day wondering what you've been up to. Let's live like Jesus makes a difference in our heart, and let's tell our face that, and let's have it in our communication. And when people talk to us about how we're doing, let's not tell them the sad list of everything that's ever gone wrong in our history. Let's tell them in Jesus we're great. And yes, it may be raining, but God puts a light in our heart and a light in our soul and a hope for tomorrow. Clean up. Clean up and fly right. The real religion is an awesome faith that seeks to keep the sin out and seeks to keep God's desires in. Do you have an awesome faith? I hope you do. But if you don't, it's time to move your life to an awesome faith. It starts with having Jesus. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, that's what you really need. You know, it's time to stop pretending, and it's time to just start saying yes to Jesus. And today you can just walk down an aisle and just say, I want Jesus. It's very simple. I want Jesus. We will pray together. God knows your heart. He will come into your heart. He will save your soul. He will forgive you of sin. He will set your life right. All of that can happen in a moment. And His faith is awesome. And if you are a believer and you've allowed uncleanliness to seep in, if you've allowed your speech to get off, if you've allowed your life not to live according to what you say you believe, then perhaps today is to bring everything back in check. Get back to Jesus, and He will give you a faith that is unbelievable, that is awesome, that will carry you through whatever you face. Let's stand for prayer, please. Father, right now we ask that you would move within our hearts. In this room are some that have never met you, Father. They may have pretended, but they really have never given their heart to you. And God, you brought them here today so that they can do exactly that. Give them the courage, the desire, Father, for Jesus, that they would be willing to come forward and just say, I want Jesus. And today, Father, instill in them an awesome faith. Father, I pray for believers that we would get right with you, that we would get clean with you, that we would walk with you, and Father, we would see your purpose and glory. Thank you for all that you're going to do in this moment. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you come?